So I'm not sure how you approach this weekend, this Labor Day weekend. I know in the past, it's been a very interesting weekend in our household. Sometimes we were on the eve of sending four kids off to school. I have had a couple of conversations, with kids back in Alberta. Have you got your textbooks yet? And, you know, got your course schedule, and a lot of those things are all set to go. So there's this looking forward, but then there's kind of, I think summer's coming to a close, right? We lived in one community up north where it felt like at midnight on Labor Day, someone somewhere flipped a breaker, and it changed from summer to fall, like just right then. It just seemed like that. And I thought it was kind of interesting that we were able to wrap up a series of sermons last week, and then we're going to begin a new series for the fall next week. And I thought, what a great sort of pause that God has given us in our schedule, our service schedule, to kind of center a little more around the communion table. And I've asked a couple of people to assist me with sharing their stories and prayer today. And I wanted to have the theme centered around this hymn that was written by Catherine Hanke, first published way back in 1869, and it's the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. It's a real celebration of the gospel, and that I hope is our purpose today, is to celebrate the gospel and God's grace in our lives, and we're going to hear his story told by a few different folks this morning. On our website, not too many weeks ago, I posted, it's there all the time now, and there's a button right on the front of our website. It's called Bridge to Life. It's one opportunity for us to see a good explanation of the gospel. So if you're talking to a friend and they say, what is this? You talk about salvation, and what is this? And you could say, you could read what our pastor has written there. You just go to our website, click on Bridge to Life. In fact, there's then a hot link to a much fuller website offered by Navigators with that very same theme, Bridge to Life, and a great, great explanation of the gospel. But it's not so much that we want to explain the gospel today, we want to celebrate it. We want to tell the story. And a lot of people are discovering again, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that we need to hear the gospel over and over again. It's still the truth that saves us, right? This is how Catherine Hanke put it in her hymn. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Well, one way that we tell the story in a Christian community is by baptism. If we're thinking it's a point where we arrive, you know, I often think of that as like a graduation. I finally, I've achieved a certain pinnacle of academic accomplishment, and so now I graduate. And that's really not a good way to think about baptism. Baptism is a portrayal. It's telling the story of the gospel, right? That I, in my sinfulness and lost state, have received the grace of God, and how was the grace of God provided to me? It's through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and that's what's portrayed in baptism. It's profound, really. Go into the water, we're reminded of Jesus' death, and then under the water, we're reminded that his death was full and final, and he was buried, and then up out of the water, and it celebrates the resurrection. And when we are connected with that truth, we receive by faith salvation. So that's one great way of telling the story. And I like to remind us of baptism at communion because sometimes communion gets more focus in our church, and we need to also remember baptism. So if you haven't been baptized, please talk to me. I'd love to chat with you about that possibility. We also tell the story about 12 times a year. We usually do it once a month. through communion. Just the bread that we take and the cup, it tells the story again of what Jesus has done for us, the incredible story of God's mercy, his grace that he purchased in Christ's death on the cross. And Jesus invites all of his disciples to feast at his table. Everyone who's a member of God's covenant family is welcome. We're called to come to the table as we live in obedience to God, as we're acting with integrity towards one another to celebrate together. And I think that's another important feature. We don't have communion by ourselves in the backyard under the cover of darkness, right? We gather together. John writes this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Paul suggests to the Corinthian church and then also to us, a person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So let's just bow for a moment of quiet. Let's just reflect, where have we been in our journey with God of late? We ought not to rush into communion, but we need to contemplate, knowing that we are secure in Christ, knowing that his blood purifies us. This should be a joyful opportunity to ensure that we're in good relationship with him. On the screen, we have something that we can share together. Why don't we read together these words which express our sort of heart preparation for telling the story of God's salvation at communion. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Forgive our sins, our pride and self-sufficiency, our bitterness and division. Help us to examine ourselves and give us the grace to repent. We will leave the gifts of our worship at the altar until we have made right that which needs mending with you or in your church. And then, O Lord, your kindness and forgiveness will feed our very souls. So first we turn to the symbol of the bread. And here, listen to the second verse of this hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all my golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. So I've asked Harby if he would come and share his story of coming to know Jesus. And thanks, Harvey, for sharing with us.
Howdy. Okay, so I'll just get right into it. I grew up from a Sikh family. It was pretty sick. You guys got the joke. So I grew up as a Sikh family, and it was all right. I was born in Victoria, lived in England, then came back to Canada. Then one day it just flipped right upside down. Practically, it was a regular elementary school day. Little brown chubby Harby was running around. And it was after school, and I run straight to the swings. I loved the swings when I was a kid. And usually I'd see my mom on the way, and she'd tell me, Harvey, no, we have to go. But this time I didn't see her. I just thought she was late for work or whatnot. So I'm on the swings one by one. My friends, classmates, they all were leaving till I was the last one left at the playground. And I was like, what's going on? I used to have, you know, those Tony the Tiger watches you'd get from cereal boxes? I used to have a blue one of those. And I look at it, and it said 7 o'clock. And I was kind of confused. What was going on? Finally, I saw my dad. He rolled up. So I run towards my dad in his car. My brother sitting in the front seat. I hop into the back. And that was the first time I saw my dad cry. And I'm like, where's mom? He didn't say nothing. We go home. I'm assuming she's at home. I run into her bedroom. Her closet's wide open. All of the clothes are gone. Go into the washroom. All of her stuff is gone as well. And I didn't know what was going on. You know, I was young. I was about 6 or 7 years old. And I run to my dad. I'm like, where's mom? Said it again. Where's mom? Where's mom? And then he blurts out saying she's gone. A couple of days later, I found out that she left her family. Not only that, she took every single penny that my dad and her had in her savings, took out 2 line of credits under my dad's name, and we were broke, done. We lost our house. We lived on the streets for a bit till our uncles invited us into their homes. And as a kid, I was always angry. I didn't know why this happened. I remember when my mom used to get mad at me. She used to say things that you're worthless, you're going to be nothing like your father. So like all those haunted words always stuck by me. And when I was a kid, at that young age, I had to act like a 16, 18-year-old because my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, I had to take care of him. Practically my day was I'd go to school, I'd get bullied. They used to call me Harvey the Barbie or other mean things. I used to get bullied hardcore. I'd get home. I cooked food, majority of the time was scrambled eggs. I was a pro at it. Cooked food for my brother and I, studied, and then my dad would come home. Now, my dad was going through a phase in his life where he was depressed. So he was drinking a lot. And he'd start drinking, he'd become emotional, and it was just a routine that I went through. Go to school, get bullied, come home, cook, take care of my brother. Then my dad comes home, dealing with him drinking, getting emotional, then going to bed. And it was like that for many, many years. Practically all that anger stayed inside me. I always wondered why. Why is my life like this? And even at a young age, it got to a point where I go to school. I was big in rugby. Played rugby. Then I'd work graveyards. Then I'd sleep for 4 hours and go to school again to help my household, help my dad with, you know, 2 big boys. My brother's as big as me. He's actually a bodybuilder now, but feeding us both is pretty tough, right? Practically, I went through hardcore depression with my anger and everything and was almost at the point, well, I was at the point of suicidal. I was done with life. I'm like, what's the point of living? What's the point of going through this every single day? What's the point of this torturing? Why did my mom leave? How come I have to live in this darkness? Finally, we left Port Coquitlam. That's where I grew up most of my life. Moved back out to Maple Ridge. And I had a chance to go to a new high school, SRT. And I decided at that time, I'm going to change. I'm not going to tell anyone about my past. That was my goal. And my past was, there's more to it, but I just didn't want anyone to know about it. Of course, keeping that inside me this whole time and everything just made it even worse. I remember, Salome, you're not going to like this part, but there's this girl. her name was Natalia. And Natalia was like, yo, Harvey, there's this thing called youth group. And I'm like, okay, what's a youth group? She's like, it's practically a dude named Guy driving a military Suburban chasing you around the neighborhood. And you need to go out there, find clues, and the first one back wins, and you'll be a part of my team. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm getting chased in the neighborhood. Sounds like fun. I have to find clues, so there's a competition side towards it. If you guys know me, I'm very competitive. And I'm be on the same team as the girl that I have a little crush on. Why not? So I went to the youth group. It was a guy and Jordan at that time running it. And I go in. I'm like, okay, I'm the only brown guy here. This is kind of uncomfortable. And yeah, and then they start praying. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know this was a Jesus thing. You know? Am I even allowed to be here? And so I just kind of put my head down and just listened to what they had to do, and I went out and played. It was a lot of fun. Not gonna lie, guy, you never caught me that night. And so I kept on coming out to youth group. Of course, my friends that invited me out, they stopped. I kept going. And I remember one night, it was Jordan and Guy actually talking about prayer. And because I started learning about Jesus, I finally realized what it was all about with the cross and everything, you know, because from a Sikh family, I just knew that there was a guy named Jesus, he lived on this earth, that's it. And I started learning that he died on the cross for our sins. And prayer was something I was scared to do. Like, because I was like, I don't know how to pray. And Guy was the one that actually said that, you know, prayer is simple. You just talk to God. There's no special way of praying. So youth used to be on Wednesdays, and the week went by, and Tuesday came along, and I was like thinking about this whole prayer thing the whole time. So I go home. I made sure I closed all the windows, turned off the blinds, made sure no one was home. I didn't want my neighbors or anyone in my family to think I've gone crazy talking to myself. And I remember I started praying, and I still remember the words. Okay. Sorry. It was practically, hey, Jesus, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if you're... I don't know if you're alive, but... why does no one love me? Sorry. Why did my mom leave? Why did my dad become a drunk? How come I had to go through everything that, you know, a regular human being wouldn't have to go through? And I just started crying, I guess. Crying, venting. It was the first time in my life that I was actually able to share everything. The pain, the sorrow. I'm glad there's a soccer ball up here, by the way. the pain, the sorrow. And I kept on asking God, why did this happen? Why did you put me on an earth where I'm unloved, that no one cared about me, that I had to, you know, at age 7, act like a 16-year-old and start taking care of my brother? And it was weird, because as I'm crying, as I'm sweating, as I'm venting and screaming, actually, it was like someone was hugging me at the same time. It was the first time I actually felt that someone actually cared about me. And I remember I just fell asleep. And the next morning, I realized what had happened. And I realized that Jesus is real. That he is there. That he does love me. Not only that, after that day, Jesus showed me other people that cared about me. People in this church. My life actually became brighter. My life actually had a purpose, had a meaning, that I was able to, you know, share the gospel as well with everyone. I wasn't scared. It actually felt like I didn't have to feel hatred. And yeah, it's been tough. I've seen my mom since then, not on good terms. It didn't end up well, but I still seen her. My dad as well, he stopped drinking. Life just got a lot better. And then I remember the next day we had youth group. I asked Jordan if he could drive me home, and that was the night that I asked God to, that I love you and I care about you and I want to follow you. And that was the day that I went from being a Sikh, well, kind of not believing Sikhism, but just following it, doing the family traditional thing, and from there being a Christian. And that's my story.
I've asked Kathy if she'd come and lead us in prayer. Thanks for the bread and blessing on Harby and company now. It's going to be a partnership growing over there.
Let's pray. Almighty God, how I thank you for who you are. How I thank you that you reveal yourself to anyone who is seeking you. I thank you that you have given us the gift of your Spirit, that we have the presence of the living Almighty God within us to guide us, to lead us, to love us, to show us who you are and what you want for us. How I thank you for the youth group that brought so many young people to know you, that they are a walking testament of changed lives. I thank you for bringing Harby into our life, that he is a member of our family. Lord, I pray for the people here who maybe have not felt that love. Lord, may you reveal to them that you are the great I am, that whatever we need of you, you will provide. I thank you for what this communion table signifies. Lord, may we not come before you lightly. May we come before you with hearts that are yielded and soft, ready to be obedient, to say yes to you and to step out onto the water. And I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.
David's going to lead us in a song as we're served. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come ahead and just be served to take a portion of bread. It is this particular bread does not have gluten. So if that's an issue for you, we've thought of that. And we're going to be served now. And then after we sing, we'll partake together.
God had three in one. God, name above all names. You are name above all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's share together another expression to God of our faith, our trust, our thanks for communion. Just that next slide. Shall we share this together? Father, we bless you for the bread, for this sign of Jesus' body, for his life of compassion and his example of humble service. This loaf unites us in one body and strengthens us for ministry. Lord, remember your body and deliver us from evil. Now we turn our attention to the cup. And the third verse of this hymn that provides us with our theme says this: I love to tell the story. It's pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Well, I've invited Sarah if she would share her story of coming to know Jesus with us. So thank you very much, Sarah, for sharing. Pardon me? Okay.
I'm going to lift it up. It's going to go right under my chin or something. Okay, good morning, everyone. So, I found God at Dairy Queen. That's kind of where lots of things were going on there. So Dairy Queen was my first job that I ever had as a teenager. But it wasn't until 2002 where I started actively seeking a relationship with Jesus. It was at Dairy Queen where I was noticing things in life could be different, but I needed to choose to follow. So my life before Christ was focused on myself and relationships that I had with friends. Immediately before finding out I needed Christ and that he wanted to know me, I was a teenager. I was focused on school and friends at school and all that goes along with it. My life revolved around my friends, and now looking back, I can see how they molded me with their influence in the wrong way, which led to just bad decisions. It's high school, just bad decisions. One constant in my life was that I was successful academically, though. I usually did well in school with minimal effort. So I was a good student in the classroom, but out of the classroom, I was not a very model student. Not at all. What I was seeking from my friends was acceptance and a place of belonging. I was distant from my family, wanting little to do with them, so I had turned to my peers. I was trying to fulfill the need of a loving, caring relationship, and also wanting to be needed in return. I first heard the message of Jesus as a child in Sunday school. It was a smelly old church basement, accompanied by my older sister and my grandma. I'm sure I'd learned something in that time, but what stands out was a little small collection I was getting of little welcome pins that had a picture of Jesus on it with open arms. I don't know if you've seen those around. So that was about how frequently I went. Every time I went, I got a welcome pin. So later on in elementary school, I was friends with some people who I'd later found out were Christians. But when high school came, things changed and relationships did too. So those connections were lost. In high school, I was friends with a girl that also went to church. And I did attend a youth group event once. I wasn't quite sure of it at the time. I remember singing together, which was strange to me, as I didn't really sing unless it was the Canadian anthem at an assembly or a hockey game or something like that. I thought that the people were a little odd and did things that I didn't know what it was really all about. But otherwise, I was kind of neutral about it. It was more of a matter of just not having an understanding of the whole picture. I mean, clearly there was markers along the way that I was being nudged through my life, for sure. I didn't start to warm up to the idea of Jesus until I experienced a family of a friend that had behaved differently than my own, and I determined that it must have been because they knew Christ. They actually seemed to love one another and expressed it openly. I was curious enough, I mean, not to say that my family wasn't a loving family, but it was just, there was definitely something different about this. I was curious enough to ask questions about this peculiar behavior. I've always been keen on learning. Through my observances, I became aware of other people in my life that also believed in God. There was a coworker of mine also doing time working at Dairy Queen. By this point, I was attending post-secondary and trying to find my way as a young adult in my 20s. So following my academic tendency to investigate everything, I talked it through a lot while working at Dairy Queen, working on the counter, in the grill, washing dishes in the sink and stuff like that. And my coworker had turned into my friend. And I learned about church and attended with my friend. And then we eventually attended an Alpha course together. That was being held at MRBC, actually. So I had an opportunity to ask questions of others and obtain a broad perspective of opinions and thoughts on the whole matter of Christianity. It began to make sense to me. Things started happening around me that slowly were being revealed as God at work and not just circumstance. Partway through the course, I met my friend at Tim Hortons for coffee, and she asked me a few questions. She said, "Did I recognize that I had sin in my life and I needed a Savior?" Yes, I did. "Did I trust Jesus to be that Savior and be Lord over my life?" Yes. "Did I believe that Jesus was the Son of God and died on the cross for my sin?" Yes. Did I believe, so this is kind of how the conversation had gone. And the Alpha course also had a guided prayer in it as well. And I remember saying that prayer alone later on my own. And at the very core of it all, I wanted to be loved and cared for and also to be needed for some purpose. God provided that for me with a relationship with Him. He offers it and I accept it. But He still needs me to be obedient and follow Him. As a result of my acceptance of Jesus, changes started taking place in my life. Immediately, I read through the whole Bible cover to cover, noting sections, asking questions along the way. God had enabled me to do so with time and ability. And other outward changes I experienced included changing my friends and who I was hanging out with and social groups. I had connected with family more and I'd broke bad habits. These changes went on, and my heart was being transformed through the ongoing relationship that I was building with God. I know that Christ is in my life today because I can see him working through all things for his good purpose. He has equipped me with gifts and led me through a journey of revelation of truths, revelation of God being at work and not a life left to circumstance or chance. It's been 16 years since I made a decision to follow Christ, and during that time, I've experienced God working in my life beyond my comprehension. Early on in my faith, I was eager to absorb as much knowledge and understanding of what it means to be saved by Jesus. I got connected with church, with a young adults Bible study right away, following the completion of the Alpha course. Shortly after that, I started attending Cornerstone, which was then called Albion, back in the day. And I was dating Nathan at the time, so that was the church he was attending, so followed him over here. From here, we've served together with youth group. We did Bible studies, home groups, served in children's church, and various other ministries in our church. Right from the very beginning, after being saved, I started on a trajectory of growth in my faith and relationship with Jesus. I sought knowledge and understanding and found ways to serve continuously for purposes of building up God's kingdom. All the while, especially in the very beginning, I remember feeling ill-equipped or unqualified to serve. However, I've learned that each time I said yes to God, it helped me further down the line. He was building me up bit by bit as I continued to go along for the ride. He was at work, and it continues today. So, that's my story.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to invite Nathan to come and lead in prayer. Thanks for the cup, and also blessing on Sarah.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so awesome and so holy. Humbly we come before you, and we thank you so much for the sacrifice that you've made for us, for your blood spilt for us, so that we may be with you. I pray that we wouldn't take this lightly, and that we would always remember everywhere we are, whether it's at school, work, or home, that the decisions that we make, the people that we talk to, and how we talk to people, that they would reflect our acknowledgement and thanks for what you have done for us, and that we would live our lives in a way that would glorify you and draw other people that you've also sacrificed yourself for to you, to further your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing again as we're served the cup, and then if you would, just like before, just hold on to that, and then we'll share that together when we're all served.
Nice.
ashamed, I hear my mocking voice. And all out among the scoffers, it was my sin that held him there.
Apostle Peter tells us this: you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In the same way, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's share together these words. Father, we bless you for the cup, for this sign of Jesus' shed blood, for his death on the cross, and his sacrifice for sin. This cup welcomes us into covenant of forgiveness and promises us the riches of eternal life. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and we have been brought over from death to life. The final verse of "I Love to Tell the Story" is this: "I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." And I think that's a great reminder. Even though we heard the story and we responded to the story of the gospel, we need to keep hearing it as a reminder of God's grace in our life. And when, in scenes of glory, I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. Now, I hope we have this sense not just of looking back at communion, but a sense, great sense, of looking forward and longing and expecting Jesus to return. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, we read in Revelation 5. Worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Paul reminded the Corinthian church, and we need that reminder too. Whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim, or we tell the story of the Lord's death until he comes. Let's repeat this together. Father, pardon me, I think we're just a few more slides on. Unless I have mixed it up. Forward. Okay, my mistake, my apologies. Let me read this for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Why don't we stand together, and I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to share together another song. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather around your table. We do want to praise you. We do want to have a sense of just awe at what you've done. We've heard just two particular stories of how you've sovereignly reached into the lives of Harby and Sarah, and so many more stories are represented here today of how you have shown your mercy, you've shown your grace. And so I pray that would first and foremost excite us to know that your grace is real and true and alive for our hearts today. But also I pray it would prompt us to live out the gospel, to tell the story, whether it's at Dairy Queen or at youth group or at school, whatever context you've placed us. Help us to live out and tell out the story of the gospel. We pray that you would take us into this new season. A lot of little ones will be beginning school. Bless them. Bless families as they readjust schedules. Bless our post-secondary students as they engage at their level and in their new courses. Returning from a summer season, getting sort of back into the swing of things, we just pray that this would be an exciting and profitable season. We pray that there would be people that will engage with us as a church family to the point that they too will discover Jesus and follow Jesus in their lives. Lord, we want to be at this point next year with many more people gathered with us who now know you and can tell the story of having come to know you because of your grace poured through us. And so bless us as we go into this new season. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.